South Africa is currently in a race for hope after the glowing expectations of 94. And how have we all collectively reached for the elusive dream of a rainbow nation? It's painful to watch the overwhelming negativity and sense of hopelessness that has infused the hearts and minds of many South Africans. That's the opening extracts of an article recently penned by Ian Fur. He's the founder of the Hatch Institute and also founder of the Sorbet Group. Ian, good evening and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, and thank you very much for having me.
That introductory paragraph leads one to believe that we certainly are in need of some fundamental shift, because are we descending deeper and deeper into the sense of hopelessness?
Yes, indeed. I'm afraid that South Africans of all races and creeds are losing hope, you know, for the future. And businessmen and women are losing hope of a sustainable economy. The employed people are losing hope of keeping their jobs. And the unemployed, of course, are losing hope of surviving the crisis. So we do have a lot of hopelessness out there, and this is exacerbated by some relatively negative press surrounded by everything that's going on at the moment, and of course also exacerbated by COVID-19. And everything that has resulted in South Africa. So we have a very bleak outlook at the moment, and the future doesn't look very bright. But I think it's really important that we start to do something about it.
How did we get to this particular point? Is it as a result of our past?
Yes, indeed, very much so. It's about years and years of systemic racism in South Africa, largely to do with our past. You know, for 300 years, we've had this problem, and it has really instilled a particular mindset in the minds of South Africans, predominantly of white superiority and black inferiority over the years. And the results of that is what we see today, and the huge inequalities that have been generated by the system. You know, of apartheid, of course, and of the social engineering that was maintained during that period, you know, has created this mindset. And I believe that the only way we can ever really recreate or revive hope in South Africa is to start shifting the mindset and to start challenging the paradigms that are so deeply entrenched in this country.
How do we begin to shift the mindset, particularly as you describe at the moment as a paradigm paralysis? How do we shift out of this paralysis?
Yes, we have to transform from paralysis to paradigm flexibility. And the only way to do that is you can't change a country overnight, no. Certainly, but you can certainly start to change some of the attitudes of people and shifting their individual mindset. And the only way to do that is to start having uncomfortable conversations around race, racism, prejudice, discrimination, white superiority, white privilege, all of the things that we know, you know, are very uncomfortable for a lot of people to talk about. And we need to start having those conversations so that we can get people to start challenging their own paradigms, looking at themselves much more deeply than what they've ever done before, trying to uncover their unconscious biases and starting to make changes. And, you know, even if it's one person at a time, but we do need to shift the mindset of people, because that is what's going to change our country. The government is not going to do it, and we certainly can't wait for them at this point in time. But we can start working on individuals and groups of people, and hopefully we can get them to start understanding the need for change.
Why do we find it so difficult, however, to have those challenging conversations, to in fact put ourselves up in a mirror and to have those honest reflections around our ingrained way of thinking and behaving?
Yes, that's a very good question. I think largely, as a white person myself, I'd like to speak for myself, not only for others, but, you know, just generally understanding the issues around white privilege. People don't like to acknowledge that. You know, they don't like to acknowledge that they've been privileged. But clearly, you know, every white person in South Africa regardless of their situation, has been the beneficiary of apartheid and of this systemic racism. So we can try and deny it, and we can try and hide behind different things, but at the end of the day, that's the reality. And the sooner we get to accept and respect that reality, the sooner we can start to make some meaningful changes and compromises. So that's really where we have to start the process, is to getting white people to firstly understand the history of the country, understand the issues that have created this huge inequality, and also then to start accepting the responsibility for it as well. You know, young people these days say, well, you know, and don't blame me for the sins of my father. But at the end of the day, they also have to take responsibility because they've been the beneficiaries of white privilege. And so everyone needs to take responsibility for recreating equality in this country. We are miles away, despite 26 years of a new government, we are miles and miles away from any kind of equality that will create a meaningful country going forward that has prospects and that has hope for the future.
And the tensions are still there, still simmering, if one looks at the incidents and the developments playing out, for example, in Senegal. What about aspects such as diversity and inclusion training from a business point of view? I mean, can that play a significant role in starting or creating a platform for these conversations?
Yes, indeed. You know, diversity and inclusion are very useful sort of training tools to help people understand the issues. But from my perspective, they don't go deep enough into the problem. The problem is racism. And that racial polarization impacts on virtually every aspect of life in South Africa, and also impacts heavily on business cultures and business environments. So we need to go a little bit deeper than just understanding our diversity and including people into organizations. We need to get to the bottom of deep, true racism and how that has impacted on everyone's lives in South Africa. So I'm saying let's go beyond diversity. Diversity is good, and it's a good start, but we need to really tackle, you know, we need surgery, not stitches. And the only way to do that is to take a deep dive into the issues of racism and racial polarization.
And if we do take a scalpel to this particular conversation, how do we begin stitching it back up again? What are the building blocks for us as a society?
Yes, it will be a painful process for a lot of people. Change doesn't come easily, and change certainly doesn't come from a position of comfort. So if you want any meaningful change to take place, there needs to be a degree of discomfort. And the only way to achieve that discomfort is to challenge people's paradigms and get them to, you know, to unlock the deeply ingrained perceptions, stereotypes, and prejudices that have been around for so many years. So it is painful, and it is going to take a lot of stitching up, as you say, after the process. Mm. But I don't see how we can change this country or revive hope in this country if we cannot start changing individual mindsets. That's really what we need to be doing.
And by changing those mindsets and starting those difficult conversations, do we use our agencies individually? Do we use it within the working environment? Or do we use it as often as we can?
I think as often as we can is probably the best. But, you know, from my perspective, where I'm sort of targeting it is in business. And so we can do a lot of work in business to start changing the mindset. Business has the opportunity and the wherewithal to actually start this process. And so we call on them, business leaders of this country, to start taking this thing a lot more seriously than they ever had before. Unfortunately, in my view, South African businesses are not looking at race relations closely enough. It seems to be too sensitive for them, or whatever it is, but they are not really focusing sufficient attention on it, and I think this is where the opportunity lies. But of course, in all aspects of public life and society, we should be talking about this a lot more than we are at the moment. We need to bring people out from underneath their shells or wherever they're hiding these emotions and expose them to the real world and how we're going to try and build a new South Africa, a really new South Africa.
Ian, lastly, what do we risk if we do not have these uncomfortable conversations and we do not tackle racism effectively?
Well, if we don't do it, you know, I think the ramifications are almost too ghastly to contemplate, because then what's going to happen is we're just going to exacerbate the inequality. We look at the situation at the moment with a massive unemployment in this country. You know, that in itself and the huge sort of equality gap in terms of income in this country. If we don't do something about that, the future is going to be disastrous. And I don't know, I mean, it could be anything from civil war to revolution. Who knows? People are not going to just accept this for too much longer. We need to really start doing something about it quite soon.
Ian Furr, founder of the Hatch Institutes and founder of the Sorbet Groups. Thank you so much for joining us this evening and for sharing your insights.
Okay, right. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks for having me. Hey.